I want to read four verses from the Word of God, and I think as I read these, you'll understand the topic of my subject. The first one is in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. The next two verses I want to read are in the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. And we're going to read verse 15 and 16. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And then one more familiar verse in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Well, I think you get the common thread. I'd like to speak for a few moments this evening on the subject of sacrifice. I trust I can take this up very circumspectly and very carefully. It's a subject that I hesitate to speak on, and yet it's been much on my heart. And first of all, we have in Ephesians chapter 3 where we read the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's where it all begins. All the other sacrifices that we can speak of really merit nothing unless we have come to appropriate the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for our own souls. I trust that every young person here this evening has come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that sacrifice means a great deal to you, and that based on that sacrifice, you are now saved and on your way to heaven. And if there's a young person who sat through these meetings and you're not saved, let me just say before we pass on that mighty sacrifice is available for you this evening. Because God has always taught, as we mentioned in one of the reading meetings, from the very beginning of man's history of sin, that there must be, if there's going to be blessing and relationship with God, there must be a sacrifice, there must be the death and the shedding of blood of an innocent victim. It started in the Garden of Eden when man sinned, and God took coats of skin to clothe Adam and Eve. And I know there's no mention of a sacrifice there or blood, but we know that to provide coats of skin for Adam and Eve, it necessitated the death and the shedding of blood of an innocent victim or victims, and Cain's sacrifice and right on through. But I read this verse. There are many verses we could have read in connection with the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. But I read this verse for a specific reason. Because in this verse, it's not so much what the sacrifice of Christ means to us, it's more what it means to God. Now, don't misunderstand me. I trust that the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus means everything to your heart and mine. It's again the basis, the ground of all our blessing. But I don't believe we can really appreciate what the sacrifice of Christ is for us until we see or enter in a little deeper way as to what the sacrifice of Christ means to the heart of God. The Lord Jesus, when he went to Calvary's cross, he had before him as his first and foremost motive to glorify God as to the question of sin. That's the burnt offering. The burnt offering in the Old Testament was for God. And when it was offered in the proper way, it rose as a sweet-smelling savor to God. And I believe that we need to enter in and meditate on what the sacrifice of Christ means to the heart of God. And that will be the springboard for a deeper appreciation of what the sacrifice of Christ means to us. Just a little homework and study I'd like to encourage you in, and that is to go back to the Old Testament and study through and meditate on the different sacrifices and offerings that are there. Because those sacrifices, particularly under the Levitical order of things and so on, those sacrifices speak and illustrate in various ways various aspects of the person and work of Christ. And they're a beautiful study, and I believe it will really touch your heart. And those sacrifices don't all mean the same thing. As I say, they bring before us various aspects of what the sacrifice is to the heart of God, the blessings that we have been brought into as a result of those sacrifices. And I say it's a beautiful study. And there's some very good, helpful books on the offerings and sacrifices that you can get from BTP and online and so on. So that's just a little homework. So, first of all, the sacrifice of Christ. I hope it means everything to you and me. And then what's the next thing? Well, it's the sacrifice of praise that we read of in Hebrews chapter 13. And so there we read, "By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Because in the measure in which you and I learn to appreciate and enjoy in our souls the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, that is going to be the springboard for the sacrifice of praise. And that's really the next thing. You know, when the 10 lepers were cleansed, only one, when he realized what had happened, returned to give the Lord thanks and glory. And you know, I can just hear the sadness in the voice of the Lord Jesus. He appreciated that one leper that returned, but he said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? And where are the 9? I want to challenge your heart and mind today. Have you and I stopped today to give a note of praise to God and to the Lord Jesus? You know, we don't just have a lot to be thankful for. We don't just have a lot to praise Him for. We have everything to be thankful for. And we have everything to praise Him for. And it's interesting that it's called a sacrifice. I think that's tremendous. Because when we consider praise that comes from our hearts and on our lips, if there was any note of praise from you and from me today, He implanted that praise. "I create the fruit of the lips. All things come of Thee, and of Thine own have we given Thee." He's put a new song in our mouth, even praise to our God. And when we give back to Him what He put there Himself, so much does He value it that He counts it as a sacrifice. The sacrifice of praise to God continually. You know, tomorrow morning, when we're gathered together to remember the Lord Jesus in the breaking of bread, we're going to collectively give the sacrifice of praise. But He doesn't just want our praise for 1 hour on Lord's Day. He wants it continually. And notice it's the fruit of our lips. First of all, it's fruit. You know, every time you have a note of praise on your lips, it's fruit for God's glory. You want to bear fruit for God's glory? We talk a lot about fruit bearing. Every time you have a note of praise, He jots it down in His book of remembrance, and He's going to reward you for it. The sacrifice of praise to God continues. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. I want to notice this fruit of our lips. You know, praise in Scripture is always audible. Worship isn't always audible, but praise is always audible. It's the fruit of our lips. "I create the fruit of the lips. A new song in my mouth, even praise to our God." Now, it should come from our hearts. He doesn't just want lip service. He said to the religious leaders of His day, the Lord Jesus said, "This generation draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and praiseth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." So it needs to come from our hearts, but it's audible. I'm always thankful when I'm visiting in a home and I hear the sister or the brother or one of the young people or one of the children, and you hear them whistling a little hymn. singing a little hymn under their breath while they're working around the yard or going on with some chores, that's fruit for the Lord's glory. It's the fruit of our lips. Let's learn to open our lips to praise the Lord. You know, tomorrow morning when we give out some of those good Christ-exalting hymns that bring before us in such a beautiful way the person and work of Christ, are we going to sit there with silent lips? How can we? He wants the fruit of our lips. I know some of us can sing better than others. But remember, the Lord created crows as well as nightingales. And it's a joyful noise that He wants. And the bridegroom said to the bride in the Song of Solomon, "Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice." He doesn't just want to see us tomorrow at the breaking of bread. He wants to hear our voice. And He wants to hear it continually, giving thanks to His name. But then there's another sacrifice in the next verse. And that is, he says, "But to do good and communicate." And if you notice Mr. Darby's translation, "of your substance, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Now, I want to take this up ever so carefully, young people. But sacrifice is a word that's not common in our vocabulary today. We're not taught, you're not taught in school and in the world to make sacrifices. It's for me. I deserve it. I need it. I want it, so I'm going to get it. It's a day of instant gratification. And sacrifice is to give something that really we enjoy and desire ourselves. Something we're going to feel we're going to feel it when we give it. Now, there's several ways we can make sacrifice in this way. Tomorrow morning, when we remember the Lord, there's going to be a basket or a box passed around, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul told the saints to lay up on the first day of the week. But I want to say this, and I want to say it very carefully, because in that verse in Corinthians, it says that every man, it were to give every man as it hath prospered him. Now, I'm going to speak for myself. Tomorrow morning, when the collection is taken, my putting a $5 or $10 bill in the collection is not a sacrifice. It's not giving as God has prospered me. You know, if we would take heed to that verse and give as God has prospered us, and God has prospered us, and I know some of you are going to school, and I know things are tight sometimes, but I'm just speaking as a general principle. If we were to give as God has prospered us, there'd be no needs amongst the Lord's people, and there'd be no lack for the gospel work. And so that's one way. But it's to give not just on Lord's Day and not just really our money, but of our substance. Whatever God has placed in our hand, and He doesn't expect us to give something that He hasn't placed in our hand, but whatever He has placed in our hand, He has exhorted us to use for His glory, to make sacrifice. Maybe you'll have to give up something. Maybe you'll have to give up going out on Friday night once in a while to make a sacrifice in that way. But I want to encourage you to do that. I'll tell a little personal story. I hope I can tell this in proper context. But you know, my parents, as we were growing up, they taught us the joy of making sacrifice for the Lord's people and for the Lord's work. And my parents gave in generously to various aspects of the Lord's work around the world. And after my dad passed away, my mother was left with a fairly comfortable income. And I encouraged her to go ahead and to support those things in the Lord's work and amongst the Lord's people that she and my father had supported. And especially since she went to live with my sister and her husband the last 8 or 9 years of her life. And so I encouraged her to use her money while she was living for the Lord's work. When my mother passed away, there was $6,000 left to her name. I wrote a check to each of my 3 siblings for $1,500, and the estate was settled. Now, the reason I tell you that is because I believe my mother will get a great reward for using her money, her resources, for the Lord before she passed away. You know, Harry Ironside, the commentator, he made this interesting comment. There's no reward in Scripture for postmortem gifts. Isn't that interesting? Now, I'm thankful for those who passed on and they've left money for the Lord's work and to help with the printing of literature and so on. I'm not belittling that in any way. But I just want to encourage you to use whatever God has placed in your hand. And again, my mother's not a precedent either, because God has taught us that we need to be careful with our money and we need to provide for our own and so on. We don't want to give beyond our means, so we want to be careful. But then I want to speak of the last sacrifice. And this isn't the sacrifice of praise. This isn't using our substance for the Lord. This is ourselves. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Perhaps this is the most difficult one of all, and that is to give ourselves to the Lord wholly on the altar of sacrifice. Now, in Romans, we have brought before us the mercies of God and the wonderful position we've been brought into and all that God has provided for us. And then in the practical aspect, he says, on the basis of that, I beseech you by the mercies of God to give yourself a living sacrifice. You know, there are many of our brethren today who are giving themselves physically, laying down their lives for their testimony. You and I may never be called on to lay down our lives physically for the Lord, but we are to give ourselves a living sacrifice. You know, the crown of life is mentioned twice in Scripture. It's a reward for those who give their life for the Lord, who lay down their life. But there's two ways to do it. There are those who are going to receive a reward, a crown of life, like those, I believe it was in Smyrna, who laid down their life physically for the Lord. They're promised a crown of life. But in James, the crown of life is for something a little different. It's for those who, in the language of the Lord Jesus, when he said, whoso saveth his life shall lose it, but whoso loseth his life for my sake and the gospel shall find it. If we're willing to lay down our lives in the service of Christ, to give ourselves, he says, I'm going to give you a reward. I'll give you a crown of life. You make sacrifice here. And this takes real energy. You know, it's one thing to give of our substance to help out with the Lord's people and the Lord's work. It's another thing to give ourselves. Young people, I look into the faces of those who have tremendous energy. You know, my energies are beginning to wane. I'm not 20 years old anymore. I'm not even 30 years old anymore. And I can keep up the same pace, but I have to push just a little bit harder. But you're right at the peak of your energy. What are you doing with it? Now, I'm not saying we all need to give up our secular employment and go to foreign lands to serve the Lord. That is not what I'm saying. But step out your door and you don't have to pray for opportunities. You need to pray that you'll use the opportunities that are there, because there are plenty of them. And to give yourself in your local assembly to serve your brethren, to take up a little gospel work in your local assembly, to help out in so many ways, to give yourself. But it takes time. It takes energy. Because to give of yourself, you're going to have to give up some time that you'd rather have spent doing something else, something you would enjoy. But maybe there's someone who needs a visit, someone who needs encouragement. Maybe the meeting room needs some work done on it. Maybe there's a little gospel work you can go and do. And maybe the Lord will call you to go further afield as well. You know, I'm to the point in life where I'm very thankful for young men who will come along and lift those 50-pound suitcases of Bibles. We'll throw those boxes of tracts into the boat as we move from island to island. I am thankful for that. That is service for the Lord. That's giving ourselves a living sacrifice. You know, it says in 1 John 3:16, it says, in this was manifest the love of God toward us, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Not physically necessarily, not in death, in physical death, but to give ourselves to the service of the Lord and to one another, and not to do eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, because ye serve the Lord Christ. So I trust this will encourage you. The sacrifice of Christ, that's the basis, that's the springboard, the motivation for every other sacrifice we make in life. The sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of whatever substance, whether it's money, our car, our home, whatever it is, He places in our hand. And then to give ourselves on the altar of sacrifice. He gave Himself for us. Are we willing to lay down our lives for Him?